Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Are you a liberal? Are you someone who's gender dysphoric? Do you love Vladimir Zelensky? Do you really think that Joe Biden is survivable, that Joe can be revived to be the greatest president in American history? Well, then we have two guests for you that will absolutely raise your blood pressure. One in particular, Dr. David Duke, the infamous David Duke, cerebral extremist par excellence, joining Patrick Slattery, who's an extremist himself, but he looks more respectable. And then yours truly, who has been trashed along with David by the Anti-Defamation League and all of these other usual suspects. Let me jump into just a couple of things before we bring Dr. Duke and Dr. Slattery into this whole picture. The Kremlin is saying that the plot to kill the Rheinmetall boss, Armin Papager, is untrue. Papager or Papager? Who knows? Anyway, I tend to believe that that's untrue as well. But when you stop and think about it, you know, if there was a plot to do this, not that I approve of that sort of thing, but maybe we ought to suggest that the Kremlin focus upon a lot of people in the United States that maybe should not be with us anymore. I don't know. But at this particular juncture, this story is absolutely suspicious, apparently, because it comes right on the heels of the alleged Russian strike on the Children's Hospital in Kiev. That was actually the result, and we're going to post the results on that this week, and actually the result of an Ukrainian anti-aircraft missile that missed its target or partially struck its target. And landed on the hospital. But this was, again, another case of Western media and the Western deep states getting into the whole issue of trying to pump up Vladimir Putin as some sort of a terrorist. So keep all of that in mind when you are, in effect, reading these kinds of stories in the Western press. Check it with our usual sources that are both Russian as well as Western sources who are not neoconservatives, and who have an analytical background when it comes to weapons and intelligence and who did what, that underscore the fact that 99% of what you are being told in mainstream media is complete trash. Now, we have a promo going on at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I put this into the show description for V Contacta. And if you participate in the summer fundraiser for the Republic Broadcasting Network, I don't have the script in front of me on this, but I know if you're one of the first X number of callers, you'll get a great T-shirt and some bumper stickers and a classic RBN T-shirt. But the T-shirt that you will love shows Jesus Christ in the temple whipping up on a few people. And the headline of the T-shirt says, "No Israel without Jesus." So if you're planning on taking a trip to have dinner with the Zelenskys in Kiev, or you're getting ready to go to Tel Aviv or Miami, or if you are, in fact, getting ready to go to any one of a number of other places in the United States, including all of our major cities, especially New York cities, you will be absolutely noticed with that T-shirt. Question is whether or not you would get out of any of those cities alive, but that's beside the point. I got a call, believe it or not, from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Less than an hour ago. Now, let me qualify that by saying that the call proved to be a tape recording, and it was a tape recording that is absolutely realistic. I really thought it was Kennedy on the line for a minute, and as he was talking, they even, you know, dubbed my name into the thing. "Mark, this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. calling," and I said something to what I thought was a live person that made reference to the fact that I was glad that he was recovering from a certain surgery that is known to a different ethnic group, that I understood that he was quite sore from that. But it turned out to be a recording. Anyway, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did have one interesting recorded piece of information. The Harvard-Harris poll, and I assume by that they don't mean Kamala Harris, the Harvard-Harris poll shows that 71% of the American public in this random sample do not want Biden to run. The other 29% are teetering on the edge of suicide, I guess. Supposedly 61% don't want Trump to run. What's that?
I think it would be funny if he keeps running. I like it.
I like it. The longer he stays in the race, the better we like it. So all of you people out there who are concerned about the president's inability to think, there are plenty of other people around him who don't have his questionable medical circumstances, who are equally as stupid and equally as dangerous, and none of them have the president's sad afflictions.
Hey, Mark, I hate to interrupt. Could you have the network call me right back? I'm having a network problem here.
Sure, I sure will.
Thanks.
That was Dr. Duke indicating that he was having a network problem. He wants our technician in Round Rock to buzz him up again. So that's a message passed to us from Dr. Duke. He'll be back with us. Fascinatingly enough, Kennedy, of course, says if you're looking for change, he was suggesting that he was the alternative to Trump and to Biden. I don't think that his alliance with Shahbaz Lubavitch is necessarily going to recommend Kennedy to anyone left, right, or center who is looking for an alternative to central banking control of the American economy, the American currency, the American elections, as well as the things that are going on to get a good war started. That would, in effect, support a Jewish cabal running a world government based on their brand of central banking and the various wars that they support to achieve it. So very good, David. Good to have you in there. Yes. Well, let's work David in after one more comment here. At the NATO summit, folks, if you didn't see this, Joe Biden introduced Volodymyr Zelensky as Vladimir Putin. There could be something wrong with this guy, folks. I just wanted to work that in.
Don't forget that we introduced as the vice president.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, I introduced Vinny from Indiana as Vladimir Putin from Indiana, so it can happen to anybody.
Yes, yeah. It can happen to anybody once. So,
well, okay, I'll be happy to wade in now a little bit.
Sure, and come on in.
First, let's talk about the example of Jewish supremacy and media and the lies that go on constantly about not just Gaza, but also Ukraine. And one of the best examples I can think of is two New York Times articles just contrasting the reality of the lies that are going on. Now, you mentioned this alleged Russia strike of the children's hospital in Ukraine.
Yes.
And here's the headline from the I pulled up both these headlines to talk about this, right? So it's this is a headline in the New York Times. This is just yesterday's or today's or yesterday's. I don't know for sure. Russia strikes children's hospital in deadly barrage across Ukraine. Well, guess what? Apparently, no children at the hospital died. There were just some injuries. So obviously, the Russians weren't trying to do it. Now, I want you to note the difference that Russia strikes. And then, of course, we have Russians strike. You know, they talk about Russians in this thing. And when we talk about Israel, we should be talking about Jews because they call it the Jewish state of Israel. And they identify themselves as Jews. And I don't think Israelis, who happen to be Arabs, I don't think they're supporting any of this massacre and so forth in Gaza. But here's a New York Times article from November 20, 2023. Deadly strike hits northern Gaza hospital where many were sheltering, right? Deadly strike. And it was a deadly strike, really and truly a deadly strike. Dozens and dozens killed, right? But it's interesting. The perpetrators aren't mentioned. Why don't they just say it like the, you know, why don't they just say, you know, the Jewish state of Israel commits deadly strike. Jews make a deadly strike that hit northern Gaza hospital where many were sheltered. I mean, this is an example of this ongoing media lying. And if this is not addressed, in fact, it's very amazing to talk to and hear people who are very critical of Israel and are critical of the lies of the New York Times, like the lies of the atrocities that's exposed by this great Al Jazeera documentary by a very Western journalist. He's a very much awarded Western journalist, incredibly good spokesman and researcher and documentarian. And he talks about these massively horrible things. He's got videos of them saying that the children were bound up in piles of 10 kids and two piles, and then they were burned alive, you know, and this kind of stuff. And it was all a lie. And the kibbutz where this was supposed to happen, it's all documented. It was totally a lie. The New York Times article about mass intentional rape was a big lie. A total lie. The parents themselves said their daughter wasn't raped. The husband himself said the daughter wasn't raped. The husband was with the wife. And by the way, and they talked about the husband and, you know, on the phone and so forth. They talked about having the phone call to the husband right before this happened, right after. And, you know, it's like there wasn't even time for somebody to be raped, a multiple rape, you know, in a couple of minutes. It's just this word doesn't work that way. It was all a lie.
I think that they were on a military exercise. I think they had other things to do.
I would think so. But it's like with the whole thing, and this is good for RBN. I know RBN's getting a lot of this too, and because Dr. Slattery is doing it and you're doing it, Mark. But the whole narrative of October 7 is just one big, giant Jewish lie. It's a total lie. Like they act like, oh, this is a terrible atrocities and everything. But you have to look at not even talking since then. We've had, according to Lancet, one of the leading publications in the world, medical journals in the world, in fact, and it's probably number one, second to, or the second biggest one is the New England Journal of Medicine, but they do a lot of scientific reports. I can't say every report's accurate, but it's a very complete report.
And it shows that. We'll post that one, yes.
Yeah, and it shows specifically that in every one of these conflicts where lots of bombings and deaths of civilians have happened through bombing and military attacks, tank attacks, bomb attacks, jet attacks, whatever, that there's always a residual crime rate or a death rate and a wounding rate that's exponentially more than the direct victims of the bombs themselves and the attacks themselves. Because there's intervening medical conditions, they die later, they die from other diseases that take time to kill them, or they're buried under the rubble, and they're saying that there's at least 10 to 20,000 Palestinians under the rubble. But there's 4 to 5 people more, and they're estimating conservatively that the death toll in Gaza is about 189,000, about 190,000. That's amazing, but that's 8% of the population. And they're saying that may be very conservative. And that's also not talking about the fact that 3 times that many are either maimed or wounded or hurt. And then you talk about all the starvation, you talk about the malnutrition, you talk about the damage that's done to people, the medical care. And one of the reasons why these numbers aren't accurate is because their entire infrastructure, like the hospitals, they don't really have any institutions anymore. They've lost all their city halls. They've lost their civil defense, you know, organization. There's no way they can adequately count the victims. They can't identify the victims. It's impossible. You've had 65% of the abodes of the entire Gaza Strip destroyed. You had more bombs falling in Gaza over the last 6-7 months than all of Ukraine by Russia over the last 2.5 years of war. I mean, you can't make all this stuff, folks. I mean, it's just, and so here's the raid of Gaza. They take over 2 military bases. The Gazans never even had a military base. They don't have any jets. They don't have any helicopters. They don't have any 2,000-pound bombs. They don't have any of these massive rockets. They don't have, you know, cell phone intelligence and all the other stuff, the satellite intelligence, all this stuff, right? So it's amazing to think about what's going on here and just the lies. But then you look at the facts on the ground and they say, oh, yeah, there's no way. This is the most horrible thing since the Holocaust. The carnage, the innocent children, 40 babies beheaded. Turned out none were beheaded. And in fact, only one baby died, and the baby they say died took place from a bullet that went through a wall in a kibbutz. So it wasn't even an intentional killing of a baby. And yet we know that when you drop a 2,000-pound bomb on a block, blowing up a whole block, you're going to kill every, you know, woman and child and innocent person in those whole blocks of civilian populations. Now, every Jew is a part of the IDF. We're going to rename that, though. The Israeli, or the Israel Defense Force, is the wrong name for it. It should be, right, the JTF, the Jewish Terrorist Force. That's what it is. It's a JTF, not the IDF. How many babies died, according to the Israeli government, during this October 7th thing out of 1,200? A grand total of how many babies? No, it's just children, not babies, but children, 36. And just the last two Israeli incursions into Gaza against civilian targets, completely, no bases or anything, civilian targets, at least 2,000 or 3,000 children died, and many, many babies. And at least 60% to 70% of the dead were women and children, obviously not Hamas fighters or exactly. terrorists or anything.
Exactly.
So if this makes Hamas worthy of being killed wholesale and not being allowed a government, on that basis, the Palestinians should have a right to destroy any Israeli government official, any Israeli military official, anybody like that, because that's exactly what the argument they're using. And yet this is never brought up by the major media. It's so important that we get the facts out. And the last thing is hostages. Hostages. Every day you hear about hostages, 125 hostages. They hear about the mothers and their fathers and their brothers and their sisters and their sons and their daughters of the hostages, right? Well, right now there's between 15 and 20,000 Palestinians in the jails and dungeons of Israel. And according to the New York Times, and I can quote articles saying that this is even just a few years ago, 500 a month being tortured, 6,000 a year, 30,000 Palestinians in just 5 years of the Intifa, some of the Intifa was violent, some of the Intifa was just demonstrations. But in those 5 years, you know, 30,000 tortured Palestinians, tens of thousands over the years, hundreds of thousands over the years in Israel, held without charges and tortured while there, including torturing children. According to Save the Children, 40% of the children in Israeli prisons were sexually molested and attacked and raped. You can't, I mean, the enormity of these lies is important, and it reminds me of one Finkelstein quote. It's a very famous quote, and I wouldn't dare be a denier of the Holocaust. I wouldn't dare do that because, boy, that'll put you in prison if you go to Europe if you do that. But, you know, one thing's interesting is when Finkelstein wrote in The Holocaust Industry, he said, there's so much fraud in the Holocaust story. So many stories have been made up, lied about. The whole thing about Switzerland stealing the accounts of Jews is a big, giant lie, he said, right? And he proved it was totally made up, right? He said, there's so much fraud. He said, people have to be forgiven for thinking that maybe a lot of the Holocaust stories, and you know, that maybe the Holocaust is a big lie. And that's an interesting point to be made, isn't it? I'm not making that point. I'm not going to say the Holocaust is big. I'm sure there are innocent Jews that were hurt. But it's when you see the lies they're making up right now about Jewish victims in Palestine, does anybody out there who's honest not think that if Jews would lie about this Palestinian attack on October 7 and the beheaded babies and so forth, that they wouldn't lie about their effort for war and destruction and mass murder against the Germans, who they hated more than any other entity, as they saw it as an existential threat to Jews and in the world, who dared to stand up to Jewish power in Germany? You think they wouldn't steep to any sort of duplicity about that? That's a good question, isn't it? I'm not gonna say this has any implication that the Holocaust didn't happen, but I'm just gonna suggest it's certainly a pretty good question, isn't it? What do you think?
It's an excellent question, and of course, when we get back into the whole history of the modern state of Israel, as you know, Dr. Duke, as well as anyone, the entire history of this state has been one of terror, has been one of genocide, and many instances, as we know, where the Zionist state of Israel with the full support of the Israeli lobby in this country, has engaged in a series of operations against the people of the United States. The Levant affair, right?
Right.
9/11, the Pollard spy case, the Promise affair, the Lansky, David Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination. The list goes on and on. And when we start looking at this this circumstance, the notion
that right before his assassination, he warned Israel that he was going to cut off funding if they didn't stop, you know, what they were doing against the Palestinians. And this is before the 67 war, of course.
Yes.
And he demanded then, he was demanding that Israel take back the Palestinian refugees. He also said that we will bomb your reactors if you're making atomic weapons. And he had, there were a lot of private conversations which were recorded by his aides, and where he was talking about the fact that the Jews were lying. And also, we've got conversation of Jews talking about how that they were going to make these kind of show reactors for the inspectors to go to if Kennedy ordered inspections. They saw Kennedy as an existential threat. He was also against their massive wars. And this is what goes on with Ukraine and the whole thing about Russia. And I'd like to ask your opinion on this, too. I think you understand this as well as anyone. But why do the same Jewish elite, like the New York Times, which promoted Russia as a favored nation trading partner, not sanctions, but favored nations in the 1930s when they were starving people. The New York Times covered up the Holodomor. They covered up the tens of millions of people murdered in the gulags, which are all run by Jewish bosses. Even Ynet News talks about this. That's the biggest publication in Israel, for those that don't know it, folks. But anyway, so why are Jews so anti-Russian when they were so pro-Soviet? And there's only one answer to it, and here's the obvious answer, I believe, and I want to get your opinion, and you can elucidate anywhere you want to go. Even it's your show, you take it wherever you want.
No, this is good stuff, David.
But I believe, and I've studied this, as you know, I work with Solzhenitsyn. I saw him many, many days. I took long walks with him in Gorky Park, had lunch with him. I went into the archives with him. And he showed me the Jewish nature of everything. And I shared with him a lot of my documents on Jewish power, Bolshevik power outside of America, which was affecting the Bolshevik Revolution. And he showed me stuff about the mass murders in Russia. And he introduced me to a lot of fellow victims that were in the gulags. And I talked to people in their 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, whose whole family was destroyed and raped even by the communists when they were trying to make them sign confessions, which they did. And they kept him alive for a while because they wanted to use him in other cases, but they went ahead and raped his wife and children, too. I've met a couple of people that this happened to that actually survived because they were keeping them around for a few years as possible witnesses to people they wanted. And he didn't even know the truth about the death of his wife and his little daughters raped. But the reason why that they so hate Russia is because Russia, the Russians, under the hammer and sickle, they overthrew the Jews in the country. By the 1950s, Khrushchev had re-recognized the Orthodox Church. They re-recognized private property. And when they finally overthrew the communists, they let all of Eastern Europe go, all of those countries, took the missiles out, the guns out, the tanks out. But that wasn't enough for the Jews, and that's when we had NATO expanding. But they tell us that Russia's being aggressive, right, every day. Pastor Dankoff, they tell us that every day. And then they'll say the next press, NATO grew from just a tiny number of countries to 32 countries or whatever it was, 31 countries over the last 20 years. Well, Russia didn't expand during that period. It was NATO that expanded, and NATO was controlled by the Jewish power. So I say that the reason why they're anti-Russian is for one reason, because the Russians overthrew the Jewish communists.
Exactly. They overthrew Jewish Bolshevism, and basically what we have now is Vladimir Putin's regime standing in opposition to the things that were going on in Russia during the communist period.
Let's call it government. I think it's more government than what we got. He's more of a voice of the people. It's more of a true democracy in Russia, way more than America. So I don't even call it a regime. I call it an honest government of the people, because yes, he's definitely recognizing the people of Russia.
Exactly. And I think he is a Russian nationalist. Yep. He recognizes the evil character of this global system that wants to destroy the nation state sovereignty of Russia, and right, that the Jewish entity that you and I believe is largely, if not exclusively, behind this Antichrist globalist government, with all that it promotes, is specifically designed to destroy Christianity. And in this particular case, Putin and the revival of the older Russian Orthodox culture in the post-communist period, that explains in large part why there is such an absolute Jewish despising of Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Putin's Russia. And then, of course, if you throw in other things like Lindsey Graham saying the other day, hey, has anybody noticed they've got 12 to 14 billion minerals in Ukraine that we can take and keep those away from Russia? Lithium was mentioned in that conversation. So this is a full assault on the nation state sovereignty of Russia.
Do you think what Lindsey Graham was saying might have just been BS because he's trying to influence some people to continue to support Ukraine for some perhaps mythical mineral reserves? What do you think?
It's possible. Obviously, the
what
American
are you talking
public
about? In reference to what comment, Doctor? Please, I want to know the exact reference you're referring to.
Lindsey Graham was talking about the fact that, in his words, there were 12 to 14 billion dollars, I believe, Patrick, of minerals and natural resources in Ukraine that the West could wrest away from Vladimir Putin's Russia.
Okay, thanks for the reference.
It's some enormous figure.
Yeah, but you know, the biggest foreign relations organization in America, of course, is the Committee of Foreign Relations, CFR, right? And it's totally controlled by Jews. It was set up by three Jews: Henry Kissinger, Herman Kahn, Guido Goldman, and a lot of other Jews. Walt Rostow was involved in it, and they had big articles in the Foreign Policy magazine about how that they want to divide Russia into 20 countries and steal all the resources. We're out of time.
Eddie Arnold takes us to the break with Ghost Riders in the Sky. We will be back with Dr. David Duke and Dr. Patrick Slattery on the Dan Koff Report on RBN. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away.
We are back. You've been listening to the late, great Eddie Arnold singing Make the World Go Away. That may have been his greatest hit in terms of numerical sales, but he sold well over 85 million records. And Eddie Arnold was the CMA's first entertainer of the year. And the only person in history to be inducted into the Entertainer of the Year award after being already in the Country Music Hall of Fame as its youngest entry at age 48. And, of course, if you want to learn more about him, a younger generation not familiar with the impact that he had in the post-World War II country music, take a look at the obituaries on Eddie Arnold that are online with USA Today and the Los Angeles Times, among others. He had a staggering impact on the entire history of the industry. Let me say a couple of things before we re-engage with Dr. Duke. Again, we've got that promo going on, Republic Broadcasting Network. If you want one of those T-shirts to take to Tel Aviv or Miami or to New York, or to Kiev to have dinner with the Zelenskys before they flee the country, you've got to have that T-shirt. And it basically says, no more Israel without Jesus. So at the least, you can buy that if you're anywhere here in the state of Texas and visit John Hagee's Cornerstone Church on Sunday. My old friend Chuck Baldwin has a new piece out talking about how Antichrist John Hagee is promoting genocide in Gaza with Antichrist Zionist Jew Ben Shapiro. That'll be one of a ton of stories I'll add to this broadcast in terms of your roadmap over the weekend. But suffice it to say that my old buddy Chuck Baldwin, he did a lot of stuff together in the Constitution Party years ago. He has this absolutely nailed down. What's going on with the war in Ukraine? Russia today tells us that the Russians ultimately are going to cut off the Toretsk salient and advance to the southern outskirts of Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, the agglomeration that, of course, the people at the Durand have been talking about in the last 2 years, is a real significant salient that would signal the very end for the Zelensky forces. So keep an eye on Toretsk, keep an eye on Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, keep an eye as well as to what's going on elsewhere in the country, up to and including these incredible airstrikes that involve everything from these Fab 500, 1,500, and 3,000 kilo bombs that are guided to their targets by an incredible electrical guidance system. Take a look at the conventional airstrikes with these Tu-22 M3s. Take a look at these supersonic missiles, folks. I've been looking at all kinds of graphics on these pertaining to the supersonic missiles that Russia has developed, where the United States is woefully behind. And, boy, I tell you, this has made the air war over Ukraine an entirely Russian operation. And the United States and these NATO countries had better watch their step when you start talking about these hypersonic missiles that travel many times the speed of sound. Let me just mention two other things before we re-engage with the great David Duke. Michael Snyder has written a piece for Lou Rockwell that'll be in your show description over the weekend. The 21 facts that Joe Biden doesn't want you to know. As a matter of fact, Joe doesn't know what they are either at this point. These are the 21 facts that Joe Biden doesn't want you to know back when Joe was a little more capable than he is now. We also have a video of Joe and his wife for you available that's on the V Can Talk to show description. The other thing that is significant here, Viktor Orban's trip to Ukraine and then to Moscow and then to China. What is the prime minister of Hungary up to? He clearly is engaged in some very high-level, very secretive diplomacy. Pepe Escobar has a piece of the UNS review today that explains Pepe's take on why Orban is undertaking this mission that would suggest that some really incredible things are going to happen this year or at the beginning of 2025. And then we have 17,000 Polish troops are on their eastern border with western Ukraine. They're not there, presumably, to have a picnic. Obviously, there is a way that the prime minister of Poland, I pronounce his name Donald Tusk, Mercurius's Donald Tusk, pick whether T-U-S-K is pronounced the first way or the second way. But nonetheless, it's obvious that Tusk and Zelensky are talking about a major escalation of Polish involvement in this situation, up to and including missiles that could be fired into Russia itself. Apparently, Tusk wants to die a very early death, which is his privilege if he wants to do that, obviously getting millions of his countrymen killed and bringing the world into a third world war. Isn't his privilege, and people need to question his sanity, even though he doesn't have Joe Biden's very sad medical situation at present. Dr. Duke, what say thee about all kinds of things that we haven't discussed yet?
Well, I tell you, nothing. I think there's very few things that have been so disquieting to me, of course, and more heartfelt than watching the genocide in Gaza. The one thing that eclipses that, because I have such a fantastic personal relationship, I have been to the Middle East. I've even been to Israel as a very young man coming back from Laos, and I did visit the Holy Land, and I visited a lot of the areas of what so-called West Bank and Bethlehem and so forth. But in Ukraine, I lived there for a while. I lived in Moscow for 5 years. I worked with Solzhenitsyn. I later got my doctorate in Kyiv, and it was an amazing experience. I gave 100 different lectures, and I've actually heard from some of my most favorite students and some of the people who really liked me and their parents liked me or their friends liked me that have informed me of their death in this war, that they were impressed, which meaning they were forced to serve, and they were just sent into the meat grinder to die. And these were very patriotic Ukrainians. You know, they were in between a rock and a hard place, right? They were being forced to serve in the military. They were being threatened with murder, and they were just sent into situations where they were bound to die. And it just broke my heart to hear some of these students that I knew personally and their families, and to see this, it just brings down this horror. And there is just a massacre going on right now. But I guess say, despite all the tears, all the problems that we're facing and the human suffering in the world, I do believe there is light breaking on the horizon. I do believe that the powers that are ruling this world that are ruling the United States, ruling much of the world, costing so many lives and have cost so many lives in the last 130 years, are really kind of coming undone. So I thought you talked about some music. I wanted to play a little section of a song that I really liked when I was a teenager. And it was really a metaphor for America, a song called Undone by the Guess Who. I'm not trying to guess the song, but that's the band's name.
Yes.
And it talks about America coming. It's basically about America has come undone. And, you know, that too many steps, you know, and not enough truth, and too many churches, not enough truth. And we have these Zionists, unfortunately, too many of them. Thank God it's not as many as they'd like to be, but we have this satanic anti-Christian called Christian Zionism going on in this country, but they're coming undone. So here's the song, and I want you to hear part of it. We're not going to play the whole thing, but a little bit of an excerpt here. Jewish power.
It was too late. She's come undone. She's on a mountain that was far too high. And when she found out she couldn't fly, it was too late. It's too late. She's gone too far. She's lost the sun. She's come undone. But all she got was lies. Came the time to realize, and it was too late. She's come undone. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when I found what she was headed for, mama, it was too late.
That's part. This is the part I like.
Too many mountains, not enough stairs to climb. Too many churches, and not enough truth. Too many people, not enough eyes to see. Too many lives to
there you go. I think Jewish power
is
coming undone. How's that for a positive thought?
Well, it's a very positive thought, David. And the thing that I said to my wife several nights ago is that as we have followed this war very closely, this Russian-Ukrainian war since February of 2022, and everything that has slowly been going our way over time on this, despite all of the powers and principalities that have been working through the cabal to advance their new world order, this brings to mind to me that two things are true. Those of us on the traditional paleo-conservative anti-Zionist traditional right in the United States need to understand, as I think all three of us on this particular show understand, Putin is our ally. He is not our enemy. The more Putin whips up on these people, the better I like it, because the entire global system rooted in Jewish power and that comes to us via NATO and the International Monetary Fund and the EU and Janet Yellen and all the rest of it, this is teetering now, folks. You can see it kind of like a fighter who's going along and suddenly in the 12th round.
He's woozy, baby.
Exactly. And the legs start getting a little rubbery. How many times those of you who've ever watched a prize fight remember seeing that, where something that looked like it was going one way, suddenly, all of a sudden, when a completely in a completely different direction. Exactly. So this Russian-Ukrainian war and this Israeli genocide in Gaza, these may be the two key turning points in all of world history, along with what may happen to these neocons who are obviously trying to pick a fight with China. And Dr. Alan Sabrowski said something on Vkontakte, and you're probably acquainted with him. I'm acquainted with Alan.
I'm acquainted with him, yeah.
Yes. He made the statement, and I think he would agree with what I just said, based upon a remark he made on Vkontakte, that as you start looking at this whole system unraveling in the United States and the cabal that is supporting these murderous policies in Ukraine and in Gaza and in so many other places in the world, that there will come a point, maybe, and I think he was intimating, maybe in a year or less, when American patriots that may be as old as you and I are, can nonetheless possibly be forced to defend our country.
Well, you're a young man compared to me. No.
Well, no, it's not that much difference, but certainly, yeah. But I think if Americans ever have to bear arms on behalf of the defense of the United States, I think what Alan was trying to say, our beef is not with the Palestinians, our beef is not with Putin and Russia, our beef is with our own government.
Our government is visibly working to destroy us and wipe us out. I said this in the last show with Dr. Slattery just a few minutes ago. And
that's the way Sabrowski put it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I quoted a Palestinian professor at a major university, and he was talking about how the Palestinians have been mass murdered, 500 villages and small cities and towns. And in fact, great cities like Rafah, for instance, Haifa, were amazing Palestinian cities. And the Palestinians were wiped out in those cities. And of course, they were killed, they were tortured, they were expropriated their land, their homes, their businesses, their farmyards and vineyards and orange groves. They just were totally expropriated and murdered and driven out and terrorized by these Jews. And it's just amazing to think about that when these things came about. But what this professor said is, but you know what? They live. We live. We Palestinians have not died out. And I thought about that concept, and I realized the weapon that they're using against us in the West. And the reason why the Palestinians are living, in spite of all the mass murder, is because Palestinians are dedicated to going on as a people. And you know what? I believe every people have that right. I am not a racist. I'm the opposite of that. Because the real racism is when races are trying to be destroyed. And that's what globalism is trying to do, Jewish globalism, because they want one elite race. When you mention the word cabal, which is a great word for exactly who rules us, what does cabal mean? What is the root of the word cabal? Well, it's Kabbalah. It's from the Talmud.
There you go.
It's a Jewish word talking about a somewhat secretive, but it's not all that secretive. It's pretty much open these days because they're getting so much hubris. It's called chutzpah, right, in the common vernacular. But this hubris that these Jews have is amazing. And this cabal that's operating, and you see all these things on the internet half the time. Who's behind all this? And they'll talk, oh, it's the globalists. Oh, it's the WEF or whatever. The WEF was actually not even set up by Schwab. Schwab, in fact, was a German guy. He wasn't actually Jewish. I've tried to research him very deeply, but he was a German. And that's what the point of the whole WEF was. It was set up by Henry Kissinger at Harvard. It was set up by Hermann Kahn. And he was like the Jewish kind of role model for Dr. Strangelove, making war with Russia. And also another Jew by the name of Guido Goldman. Guido Goldman was the son of Naum Goldman. Now, Naum Goldman was the famous Zionist that was more responsible for the foundation of Israel and by the governments of the West supporting the foundations of Israel, the creation of the State of Israel, than any other person in the 20th century. certainly far more than the early days of Herzl and Noam Goldman. And they're the ones that set up the WEF. And by the way, WEF, I always like to correct people and get things straight. You don't say this, but a lot of people think, well, the WEF rules things. No, they're not about ruling things. They're about propagandizing people. They're about brainwashing people. And that's what the WEF is. But the entire WEF, World Economic Forum, was all created by these Jews so they could control the Gentile elite and bend them. And they've been very successful. Look what they've done to Germany, supporting these things. At one time, Germany resisted these Jews. They resisted the Jews going, they wouldn't go into the Iraq war. Now, we just have total subservience because they've consolidated their power. But the danger of this process has never been greater, and it's great to all humanity. And what I was amazed about this last, just 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, I went to Detroit to support Nick Fuentes and his Rally for America First. And interestingly enough, I met some very active young Muslim guys. One's from Britain, his name is Salman, and another one's from America named Shniko, of all those kind of names. He's got like millions of followers. He's like a true celebrity in this country. And Salman's got, he's number 50 in the world on Twitter. He's very pro-Palestinian, but he's also very anti-Jewish supremacist. And he actually, even though he's Muslim and he's an Islamic, I mean, he obviously, he's from Pakistan originally in Great Britain. And Sneeko has got some heritage, part heritage that is Middle Eastern. He also came to support the idea of America First. Why do they do that? Because they believe they, you know, they're not the same as you and I in terms of Christians, but they, but they understand that the great danger to this world, including in America, is the Jewish domination, the Jewish supremacy that exists. Man, it's an amazing thing. So they're there supporting these people who are called white nationalists because they understand that if America was in the interest of its vast majority of the people, we wouldn't even have the foundation of Israel. It would never even have happened. And all these crimes of Israel would never have been permitted. America would be on the very opposite side of all that. So that's kind of interesting. So things are changing that way in the world now, and that's a very welcome development. I obviously am opposed to mass immigration of anybody into European countries, as they would be for Europeans in their countries, to where that would change the demographic of their societies. But we can certainly respect each other and each other's rights to have their own religious heritage, their own values in their own countries, wherever they might be in the world. And they obviously are coming forward now, and they're saying that they respect ours. Really interesting development, which I think is very, very important into the undoing of Jewish power, which is a threat not just to Europeans, and a direct threat to us. They're the ones who orchestrated the low birth rates. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but I had a great aunt. My father's mother was a chemistry professor at KU. And her sister was one of the most famous doctors. And she was a woman doctor, but she's the most famous, one of the most famous doctors in America. She used to give lectures all over the world. And she did lectures all over the world about how that birth control was a menace to our race. She was opposed to Margaret Sanger and the yes. abortion, but she was also opposed to this mass destruction of the country. And she also helped young kids and their nutrition. She was helping the Northern European immigrants, like from Scandinavia into Chicago, that were being misused in the meatpacking industry. And they lived under terrible conditions. And these kids were malnutritioned. They didn't have enough milk. They didn't have enough sunlight. And she worked to remedy that. And she traveled the country defending kids and trying to protect the human rights of kids. And she was also, again, an individual who is actually standing up for the preservation of our European heritage. That's how I think we've got to reframe what we're doing. Yes, of course, we're going to preserve our people. The Jews are actively trying to weaponize minorities against us and change the demographic and then make them hate us. And they're doing that. But at the same time, we've got to realize that the only way we're going to reverse any of this is going to keep going on until we overthrow the Jewish elite that's controlling the minds of America and the Hollywood of America and the big media of America and the internet of America and all of these different things. Until we do that, we're never going to have salvation.
And while there's still a minute or two in the show, I just want to butt in here and say, you know, I agree with everything Mark Dankoff was saying about how Putin is really our best friend in the world. And I want to agree with Dr. Duke about how, you know, we're not racist. We're totally not racist. How can we be racist? We're boomers. Boomers are totally not racist. And finally, to all the people who are going around saying they stand with Israel, I just want to reiterate that I stand with the chinks.
Yeah. I like it. It's funny. And by the way, that's right. And we should be aligned, and we should be open to other countries around the world to trade with them and deal with them and be friends with them and not enemies with them. I don't think China's trying to conquer the world. I don't see, you know, 800 military bases by China around the world. I don't see it. Yeah, they're trying to get economically ahead and powerful, just like every country does. But Jews see China, and they see Russia, and they see India, all these countries, as a threat to their hegemony, right? Exactly. Their supremacy.
That's exactly China's
on the guy's side. China's on the side of civilization. We're on the side of Zionism. I think
we're on the side of Jewish genocide. And the Jews are not just genociding Palestinians. They're genociding Europe. They're destroying our reproduction rates for all kinds of everything from LGBTism and Qism and all the rest of it. And they're also changing the demographic by immigration policies and also trying to erode us morally. They're the ones that lead the world's porn. But in Israel, they have ways to block porn from Jewish kids in Israel by making everybody registered to see porn and publicly registered to protect them. While they promote gay marriage for the whole rest of the world, in Israel, they don't allow it. And in fact, more than that, if you have a gay couple, they don't allow them to adopt a kid. And they don't allow the children to go to the gay parents' house. And they have the highest birth rate in the world. It's so interesting to see this Jewish hypocrisy, isn't it?
I want to thank Dr. David Duke and Patrick Slattery for coming aboard.
Look, I'm on at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Well, Monday, actually, if I'm still going to be on. Monday morning at 10 a.m. on my network, which is the Rensselaer Network. Gotcha. Thank y'all.
See you next week. Thank you, guys.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.